وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم صراط الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ألا إلى الله تصير الأمور.
Remember, just remember, Allah sees it all.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. All praise due to Allah and may Allah's peace and blessings be on the last messenger of Allah. I'd like to welcome you, dear viewers, to another in our series, In the Names of Allah. In these various episodes, we're looking at the meaning of Allah's names, and we're looking at how those names are relevant to us as believers. What do they mean in the sense of the impact that they should have on us, on our faith, and also to what degree we are able to reflect them. We're doing it based on Allah's statement, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. To Allah belongs all of the beautiful names. So call on Him with them. Worship Him through them. So this is the focus of our program. In this segment, we'll be looking at the name Al-Mu'min. This is the ninth in the series of names that we'll be looking at. Now this divine name, Al-Mu'min, is mentioned only once in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hashr, 59th chapter, verse 23. Al-Malik al-Quddus al-Salam al-Mu'min, the Sovereign, the Holy, the Bestower of Peace, the Granter of Security. The basic meaning of Al-Mu'min is derived from a root which has two possible forms, either from Iman or from Aman. Both of these are possible sources for the meaning of Al-Mu'min. As such, the root Iman, the meaning of it is belief and confidence. And in the case of Aman, the meaning is security and safety. So the name will obviously contain both elements. So relative to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the divine name means the one who assures his creatures that he will not deal unjustly with them. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. And your Lord will not oppress anyone. It is also said to mean that he is the bestower of security from his punishment. He is the one who can provide security for the believer from punishment which he would face if he commits sins, if he has disobeyed Allah, etc. And of course, Allah can provide that security based on him doing certain things. Of course, his security will not be an arbitrary security. Allah gives that security to particular individuals. As he said in Surah Naml, verse 89, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهَا وَهُمْ مِنْ فَزَعٍ يَوْمَئِذٍ آمِنُونَ. Whoever brings a good deed will have better than it in reward, and they will be secure from the terror on that day. So Allah tells us here, what will bring the security that is in His name, Al-Mu'min? Good deeds. This is the guarantee. If we do good deeds, meaning the good deeds which Allah has prescribed, because of course people can say, I'm doing good deeds, But these are not what Allah prescribed. A person, for example, celebrating the birthday of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, feels that he is doing a good deed. This is something which is good. I'm celebrating the Prophet's birthday. That's a good deed. However, the point of the matter is that Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, didn't celebrate his birthday. He used to fast on Mondays. And when he was asked why he fasted on Mondays, he said, that was the day I was born. So he fasted on Mondays. One of the reasons was because he was born on Monday. So if we want truly to celebrate his birthday, then fast on Mondays. Every Monday. Not a particular day in the year. This was not his way. He didn't choose a particular day in the year, once a year, when he celebrated, supposedly, his birthday. He didn't do it. Nor did his companions. They didn't do it either. So, that, as good as people might perceive it, it isn't a good deed. Because Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had said, مَا تَرَكْتُ شَيْئًا يُقَرِّبُكُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا وَأَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ. I didn't leave anything which would bring you closer to Allah, that is any good thing, obviously. I didn't leave any good thing which would bring you closer to Allah without telling you to do it. It's all been told. The message is complete, as Allah said, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. Today I have completed your religion. So when Allah revealed that verse, whatever was not a part of religion at that time can never be a part of the religion. That is the sense of surety that we should feel. Whatever was not a part of the religion in the lifetime of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam can never be a part of the religion. If we take a path other than that, then we will end up with a religion other than the one which he brought. And that is what happened to others. Like Christians, the religion that they follow today, it has no relationship with the religion which Jesus brought. No relationship. Because of the fact that they didn't have the principle of sticking to exactly what Jesus brought. Not that he didn't teach them to do that, but because they were lax, the religion went to areas that, for these historical reasons now, that people tried to compromise it for the sake of promoting it, and it suffered. The main day of worship, which Jesus gathered with people to worship, was the Sabbath, Saturday. It wasn't Sunday. Where did Sunday come from? Well, when people were trying to promote Christianity among the Romans, in the Roman Empire, the day which was the popular day of worship for a particular god, Apollo, was Sunday. Sunday was set, why? Because Apollo, for the Roman pagans, was the sun god. He was the son of the main god, Zeus, but he was also the sun god, meaning, according to their belief, he would get on his chariot and he would ride across the sky and bring the sun behind him. So that's how the sun would get from one side to the other. That was Apollo riding. So people used to worship him on Sunday. And that's where the name Sunday comes from. The day for the worship of the sun god, Apollo. So in order to try to promote Christianity among the Romans, and already by the time it reached Rome, it had changed quite a bit from what Jesus brought anyway. But it took another turn. Since the Romans were believing that God had a son, Apollo, popular god, and he was worshipped on Sunday, they said, yeah, God has a son, but his name is really Jesus. And they shifted the day from the Sabbath, the Saturday, to Sunday. They thought they were doing a good thing. It wasn't a good thing. It was an evil thing. And it was part of changing the religion which Jesus brought. So similarly for Muslims, we can attain the security of Allah on the Day of Judgment, when there will be no other security but that which He gives. by doing good deeds, as many as we can. But we have to keep in mind that a good deed has to be one prescribed by God, either in His book or through His messenger. These are the true good deeds. Other good deeds, not in accordance with what God has taught and what the Prophet brought, these are not considered to be true good deeds. So, if we want to gain that security, we have to do it through the good deeds which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed. Now, when we look at the issue of the effects of this belief in the divine name Al-Mu'min, what is its relevance to us? How should it affect us? That Allah is the source, the true source of security. What that should do is it should encourage the believer to face the trials that he or she is going to find in this life, once they try to practice Islam and to convey it to others. This was the way of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His way was to implement Islam in his life and to convey it to others. And he told us, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Convey whatever you have learned from me, even though it be a single verse of the Quran. It's the duty of every Muslim to convey Islam to others. Doesn't mean pushing it down their throats, forcing them to believe, no. It means conveying the message, letting them know, letting them be aware of the message of Islam. And of course, Allah tells us, ادعو الى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة. Call to the way of your Lord with wisdom and fair preaching. With wisdom. بالحكمة. So it should be done in a wise way. Not just pushing things in people's faces, you know, insisting, etc. But making the information available in a pleasant way. So if a person accepts that legacy, the legacy of the prophets, to live Islam and to convey it to others, then he is going to find trials in this life. Difficulties are going to be there. He's going to run into all kinds of problems which come from the forces that seek to prevent the spread of Islam, the spread of the truth. So he has to now be patient. This is the test. If he wants the security, then he has to know Allah is the source of ultimate security. So he needs to be patient with these trials, and Allah will find a way for him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever truly fears him in their hearts, in their actions, in their lives, Allah will make a way out for them. That is the promise of Allah. That is the security that comes from Al-Mu'min. We're taking a break now, and we hope to see you again after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
When you are weak and the road seems long, remember, just remember, seek strength from the strong.
God Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorified is He, is talking to us. The scholars are telling us, God is so near. If you want to talk to God, go to pray. As soon as you say like this, Allahu Akbar, you are with Him. He is attentive to you.
When you are weak and the road seems long, remember, just remember, seek strength from the strong.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu rasulillah. All praise due to Allah, and may Allah's peace and blessings be on the last messenger of Allah. We welcome you back, dear viewers, from the break in our program, In the Names of Allah. In this segment, we have been looking at the ninth name of Allah, Al-Mu'min. Al-Mu'min, the one who grants security and peace. And we're talking about the effect that this name should have on us as believers when we reflect on Allah through this name. And we said that we should take from it a sense of security, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we have done what He has asked us to do, that He will give us the security and protection that we need. We said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the responsibility, as He gave the prophets before us, the responsibility to practice Islam and to convey it to others. Once we have accepted that legacy, then we find trials. That is the nature of the way. We look into the lives of the prophets and that's what we see. Trials. In fact, when one of the companions asked the Prophet ﷺ, who in this world receives the most trials, O Messenger of Allah? He said, the prophets. Then those like them, then those like them. So, the key is, what keeps them going in the face of all of these trials? It is Allah's name, Al-Mu'min. The fact that He provides us with security to get us through. If we look in the life of the prophets in the past, or we look in the life of the prophets in the future, the Prophet Jesus who is to come back, we see Allah granting that security. In the past, we see in the case of Moses, Prophet Moses, that his mother was given security regarding him from what she feared. Pharaoh was slaying the newborn children, and her child was to be slain also. But she was instructed to put the child in a basket and put it in the river, in the Nile. And that seemed like throwing him away. But Allah brought him back to her for her to breastfeed. And security was granted to her. Also, we find that in the case of Prophet Abraham, conveying the message, breaking the idols of his people, the people at first realizing when he answered, when they asked who did this, and he said, the biggest one, can't you see, he's got the axe around his neck. People, they realized this, no, couldn't be him, because they can't do that. So he said, well, how can you believe in them if they're not able to do these things? So at first, they heard what he said, the message got through to them, but they didn't want it. They preferred to stick with their customs. They said, listen, we have to protect our idols. Prophet Abraham, of course they didn't call him a prophet, he had to be punished. So they made a huge bonfire, threw him in. Allah provided security for him. Allah provided security for him. The fire didn't burn him. Now, this is not to say that if you and I are tested today and they throw us in a fire and our faith is good and strong, we're not going to get burnt. Because we know in the story of the people of the ditch, Ashabul Ukhdud, they were thrown in the fire, but they were burnt. And at the same time, Allah would reward them. The security for them is not that they were saved from the fire. And when the mother, one of the women who were to go into the fire, she hesitated because she had a child. And the child spoke to her. A miracle. The child spoke to her and told her not to hesitate. She jumped in the fire. And we also know in the time of Dajjal to come, when Dajjal will be making a fitna, creating a major trial for people, calling people to believe in him as God. And he will cut a man in half, walk between the halves, then call the man and he comes back together. And the man, Dajjal, will ask him, now do you believe that I am God? And he says, no. He won't believe it. So he will take him, try to cut off his head, not able to. He will take him then and throw him into the fire that is there with him. Because Dajjal will have, following him, a river which looks like a river from paradise, cool, white, and a river which looks like a river from hell, a river of fire. So he'll take him and throw him in there. And people will see him burnt up. But the Prophet ﷺ said, that man will be going into paradise. That what appears to be his fire is actually the door to paradise. What appears to his paradise is actually a door to hell. So, let's not assume that what happened to Abraham is going to happen to us. But the point is the belief, Allah will provide security. He did it in the past for the prophets. And, as we mentioned, he will do it in the future. He is not bound by time, but he does it in his own way. Don't expect what happened for Prophet Abraham necessarily to happen to us if we're put in the same situation. In the future, we are told by Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that Prophet Jesus, after he defeats the Dajjal, he kills the Dajjal, then Allah lets loose the Gog and the Magog, two tribes that will come and devastate the earth. Nothing will be able to stop them. Even Prophet Jesus and his people cannot. So he has to take refuge in a fortress in Mount Tur. And there Prophet Jesus makes dua. He prays. Ask Allah's protection. Because there's nothing they can do against the Gog and the Magog. And that night Allah sends worms that will bore their way into the back of the heads of the Gog and the Magog, and they will die out. Finish. End. And Jesus and his followers will come out. That is the safety which Allah gave for Jesus. On the other hand, with regards to the effects of the belief in the divine names, the believer should reflect on Allah's promise of security for their sincere belief in their own lives with regards to other believers and non-believers. Allah said, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Those who believed and did not pollute their faith with idolatry will have security and right guidance. That is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet ﷺ also instructed us with regards to the consequences of how we deal with those around us. As we seek security from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should also provide that security to those around us. So, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had said, one whose neighbor is not safe from his harm will not enter paradise. So as we receive security, we're required to provide it to those around us. Security to our neighbors, that is the closest person to us. Whether they're Muslim or they're non-Muslim, they should be secure from our harm. There should be no harm coming to us as a result of being their neighbor. Prophet ﷺ had said, by Allah, he does not believe. 3 times he repeated it. And when he was asked, who is that? He said, the one from whose harm his neighbor is not safe. So Islam stressed the importance of the neighbor looking after our neighbors. So much so, in some narrations, that the Prophet ﷺ said he thought that Allah was going to make the neighbor one of our inheritors. We have to look after our neighbors, provide security for them, and they provide security for us. This is essential for society to be secure. Where people don't care about their neighbors, are not conscious of their neighbors, and don't provide security for them, then the society crumbles. People don't want to have anything to do with those around them. There are places in the West where people live in huge buildings, thousands of people in single buildings, and nobody knows their neighbors. Nobody knows who is next to them. People die in their homes, and nobody even knows until the smell comes under the door. Finally, they call the fire department. They come, break down the door. They go in. They find the person dead inside there. Nobody knew what happened to him. Also, there was an article which I found in the paper many years ago, back in the early 80s. It stated, this is from the Associated Press in London, it said a young woman screamed for help for 25 minutes as she was raped, battered and strangled in London late Friday night. But neighbors said they did nothing because fighting and screams are frequent here. She was beaten to death in the street. Raped, beaten to death in the street. So much so that when the police went to look at the case, they weren't even sure, you know, whether she was 15 or 30. They said she was somewhere between 15 and 30. She was beaten beyond recognition. Broad daylight, screaming, top of her lungs. People don't want to get involved. That's what happens when neighborliness, concern, and security with the neighbor is gone. So Muslims have to keep this point in mind. Our neighbors, our neighborhoods, very important. As we reflect on this name of Allah, Al-Mu'min, we should recognize not only that we seek peace and security from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will get it as long as we're doing the right thing, but that also we should convey that peace and security to the society around us. That our neighbors should be safe from any harm coming from us, as we should be safe from any harm coming from them. With that, dear viewers, I'd like to thank you for being with us in another in our series, In the Names of Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
When you are weak and the road seems long, remember, just remember,